Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for today, well, is the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, and then 16 through 21. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. When you fast, Jesus says, do not be like the hypocrites. I saw a post today on Facebook. It stated, the first thing to know about Lenten fasting is no one talks about Lenten fasting. Like the movie Fight Club. You see, this statement of Jesus is from the Sermon on the Mount, which many believe, well, is good teachings. Good teachings from Jesus, which means that, well, they haven't really read the Sermon on the Mount then, if that's what they believe it is. Because once you read it, you realize that Jesus isn't a good teacher. He's an unyielding taskmaster. Sure, the Beatitudes are nice, maybe, until you start talking about the law. And warns his disciples not to relax the law by even a jot or a tittle. That is, the tiniest dot. So to avoid relaxing the law, Jesus launches into a sixfold intensification of the law. You have heard that it was said, but I say to you. And it leaves us slack-jawed, stupefied that anyone could be such a legalist, such a hard-nosed dictator with commandments. I mean, is it trying hard enough? Yet Jesus says, you therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect in Matthew 5. That's what precedes when you give to the needy, when you pray, when you fast. Don't be like the hypocrites. Prayer, we can get behind. That's pretty good. Just don't ask me to do it in public. Life's great then, Pastor. Maybe giving to the poor, especially somebody I know. But fasting? That's just weird talk. It seems far too physical to be spiritual. It's too concerned with what you eat and don't eat to be a Christian activity. Weight Watchers clients, possibly. But Christian? Especially not Lutheran Christians. Not people liberated from the law, basking in the glorious freedom of the gospel, having severed our ties with the work righteousness, earn your ticket to paradise shackles before the Reformation, skipping our fish fries and days of fasting. And yet, Jesus says, when you fast. Later in Matthew's account of the gospel, when the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus to ask why they fasted and the Pharisees fasted, but Jesus' disciples didn't fast, Jesus answered, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. Then they will fast. After Jesus, the bridegroom is taken. Fasting, peculiarly enough, involves being hungry. Groaning to get up from the table after cramming, well, fried cod, French fries, and washing it down with a Miller Lite doesn't quite qualify for fasting. Let alone the Paschies yesterday. Fasting means abstaining not just from diet sodas or chocolate bars for 40 days, but from food. Properly done, fasting leaves your belly aching for another helping. This is why fasting seems entirely too physical. What does the rumbling of your stomach have to do with piety and your Christian devotion? Our series this year is Behold the Man. Jesus, the God-man. And he says, when you fast, Don't be like the hypocrites. Jesus, the God-man, is trotted out by Pontius Pilate before a jeering crowd after being freshly flogged, wearing a crown of thorns to inflict suffering and a fake royal robe intended to invite ridicule. And then Pilate preaches the most unintentional sermon, "Behold the man." Taking his advice, then, that is what we will do throughout the season of Lent this year. It begins today. Behold the man. In Jesus, God is man. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, like us, yet without sin. God is our brother. The one begotten of the Father from all eternity is now the one born of the Virgin Mary. And yet he is our Lord. Behold the man, just like us. He has skin and bones. He eats, he breathes, he walks, he sleeps, he prays. He weeps, he laughs, he bleeds, he dies. He rises, he ascends, he sits, and he will come. He is completely human and completely divine. Two perfect natures in one indivisible person. He has fingerprints and DNA. Behold the man Jesus, our brother. His human nature is perfect and unspoiled by Adam's rebellion. Because of sin, we are subhuman now. But not Jesus. Oh, he was tempted in every way as we are, yet without sin. His desires were never distorted into lust or greed, coveting or idolatry. Like unblemished Adam at the close of the sixth day of creation, when God declared his handiwork very good. Jesus is as human can be, as human as he intends to make us on the day of the resurrection. So why fasting? Jesus fasted. The gospel for this coming Sunday places Jesus in the wilderness following his baptism, fasting 40 days, being tempted by the devil. This is not a fake fasting. This is not a Ramadan type fasting where you don't eat all day and then as soon as the sun goes down, gorge yourself all night long. This is a true fast. No fried fish either. I understand why fish are not considered meat, but that's another issue for another day. For 40 days, Jesus ate nothing. Matthew and Luke understatedly report that when it was done, he was hungry. I have kids that come into confirmation as they're wolfing down whatever treat they brought after having lunch at school, and they've had a few hours since, and they come into confirmation, and they're famished and starving to death. Jesus went 40 days, and he was hungry. Eating is not something, well, natural to God. Behold the God who takes on human flesh in the virgin womb of the Jewish girl, the unborn baby being nourished for 9 months in his temporary earthly throne room. Behold the crying infant rooting for his mother's breast to fill his newborn stomach. Behold the toddler to whom his parents introduced new foods, all of which he had created. Behold the boy eating the Passover lamb with his extended family. Behold the man of God in human flesh who needs to eat in order to live. And now behold the man who has not eaten for 40 days. That's 960 hours or 57,600 minutes. And all he says in the text is, and he was hungry. Behold the man. The incarnate God with lips, teeth, tongue, and taste buds, that have not savored a morsel for 40 days, with an esophagus and stomach and intestines that have been empty and aching for 40 days. Behold the man who fasts for us, the first Adam sinned by eating. The second Adam will fast before enduring an onslaught of temptations, and yet withstands every one of them. Behold, the man who fasts and who assumes his disciples will also fast. Like fasting, Lent is also weird. Who has time or patience for a season of repentance, for subdued joy, for bottling up all our hallelujahs until we can uncork them and get punch drunk with Easter jubilation? Who wants to give away more money to the poor for their already penny-pinched budgets? Who wants to devote more time for prayer from their already too busy schedule? Yes, Lent is weird. Lent, like fasting, is also oddly physical. In fact, the Germans call this penitential season before Easter Fastenzeit, literally fasting time. The disciplines of Lent, that is prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, are designed to guard you against the age-old temptation of being, well, too spiritual. The temptation is as old as creation. When the serpent seduced Adam and his wife to give in to the spiritual desire to be like God, knowing good and evil, over the physical prohibition against eating, they set the pattern for the rest of us who want to prefer the spiritual over the material. So once God settled the Israelites in the promised land, they quickly abandoned the very physical worship of Yahweh alone by means of the sacrifices offered only in the temple in Jerusalem for the more spiritual, less precise worship of Baal and Asherah. And Nicodemus cracked a joke that true religion could never be so physical as to involve rebirth. And the Sadducees concocted their ridiculous story about the woman who married one of the seven brothers to prove the physical resurrection is an impossibility. And our children or grandchildren insist that they're spiritual but not religious. And you give your amen when your friends tell you, "You don't have to go to church to be a Christian." All of that is an attempt to substitute safer spiritual platitudes for real physical fleshly realities. And it is all sin. So we are called to give up our pious hyper-spiritual affections. God isn't like that. The incarnation has been in his mind from before the first words were spoken at creation. Before he said, "Let there be light." And now we have, "Behold the man." And Jesus fasted for us. He is a God who can eat, who needs to eat, so that he can abstain from eating, enduring the pains and hunger of to denying his flesh what it desires for us. For our tendency to prefer the spiritual over the physical in a fake spirituality that leads us to indulge the flesh with its desires, both good and evil. Jesus endured temptation and never sinned, so that he could be the man to redeem all. The Creator who would ransom his creatures. God who would give his life for sinners. That's us, thanks be to God. So fast freely. Fast to discipline and chasten your flesh. Fast so that as you learn to control your belly, it will give you discipline to control other parts of your flesh as well. Fast and let the rumbling of hunger teach you that your belly is not your God. Pray until you realize that your schedule is not your God. Our time is not our own, and our daily bread does not come from our work of our own hands. Give alms, tithe, give offerings, and give money until you know down into your gut that money is not the source of your security or your happiness. Behold the man. He fasted and prayed and gave alms perfectly for us. His rumbling stomach, his hunger pains are our comfort in temptation. His flesh is our hope. He succeeded where we have all failed. Indeed, behold the man today. And then break the fast. Eat and drink. At his altar, veiled in bread and wine for his disciples to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of their sins, is his flesh as true food and his blood as true drink. Behold the man. Let the growling of your belly in Lent and any time lead you here to the place where the Lord bids you to fast and hunger no more. Here is food that endures to eternal life, drink that slacks your deepest thirst. Here at his altar is the man who gives himself to you to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of your sins, for the strengthening of your faith, for the enabling of our fervent love for one another, for salvation of our flesh. In bread and wine, in with and under, behold the man, Jesus Christ, in his precious name. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.